Que la bella lo hace.
I didn't get a letter.
Okay,
I got her
confirmation,
and I have to send that warrant to the ethics
team. Is there a reading? She wrote her name.
Yeah.
Mai nei loko keia lumi, mai aina noho I o honua kaha. Keia no ka vehe ane ka papahana, ka ho maka ane ka kakohala vai. No keia ka aha malama kule ane iwi, iwi kupuna, mai aina o ahu nei. O ku leo noi haaha aia uko ke olu olu, e hui kale yau. No keia komo ane ka maka ane ane la, no keia hala vai. A ole I he pono, ea no nae, a ole mai kai ko umo maka I keia la. So, here they are. And don't mind the rain-drenched clothes in the back there. Lucky thing I had dirty clothes in the car. Sorry, Kololo. Sorry, Vice Chair. You guys don't smell me, right? Okay. Got caught in the rain. Yeah. It was raining up in the Mauka areas. Ke olu olu. Ovau no ohina nei moana wangkalu kia la ka ino ke ia aha nei kia loa nui a kakou aloha
aloha mai kakou o auli I mishoko I noa o wau ka kia la ka ino waianai a meka baishia ke ia komiki aloha
aloha
aloha kakou ovau o manak leila ni ka teres no ovau ma hono uli uli makamoko o eva aloha
aloha
Aloha mai kākou, Kali Fermentes, ko Olaoloa Moku representative.
Aloha, Chuck Airhorn, large landowner, developer, representative. Good to see all of you here, especially Eddie back there.
Aloha mai.
Mahalo. Mahalo nui.
Aloha kākou, Regina Kilo, burial site specialist for Oahu. And I have with me my intern, Devin Koichi, from the UH Manoa Department of Sociology.
Oia mai ka ino oia ma hope oala. Mai ka ino oia ma hope oala. Mai ka ino oia ho ko koke mei a oe.
Ai.
Iki no?
No, no.
Mai ka ino kona no
amare. Iki ia ia kaya.
Nana ia ka. Oia. Iki no. Mahalo. Ke olu olu e... Ke olu olu e ka elele no ka moku o ko olaoloa naono e vehe mai ka kako papahana me ke kahi leo pule ai ole ke kahi po o manao no po ka ane I a kako.
Kalanaki la he a he mai Ai ka hana pono no na la a pau He ho o mau ana ke aloha ku Aloha e aloha e
As I got off the bus today, I realized how far we are in Ko'olauloa from the center of power. And we're still seeking to stand at the foot of the Ko'olau, seeking knowledge, seeking enlightenment, seeking hanapono no nana'apau, the right things all the time. And so we'll continue to stand. And actually, I want to publicly acknowledge our chair for her leadership for our lahui, for standing up for to ku I kapono. Ku kia I kahuku.
Mahalo. Mahalo ya o ko'olau loa. O kahino na au, o kahino pu'uai. Mahalo nui ya o I koho I kaika. Ke olu olu e nā lala o ke ahanei, I'd like to request that we move the approval of our minutes to later on in our halavai so that we can expedite. I do apologize, all of your time is valuable. We do not take your time lightly, and we do not want to disrespect you for your time that you have given today. So we will move right into our first business agenda item. Item A, discussion on Oahu Island Borough Council membership rules and responsibilities. Regina, hey, Maukulana ni pakao. O ke laponaka ni paha o kaipo e no haseko no ke hana ni no lako makira au au ma eba. Ale na ela ku ka hea ku ya oi. Ke lepona mai ne ki kaipo e wala au no oia ke hana ni no lako a heivi ko maleila a hopopo nui lako. Kau ka ohu ke la.
O
kau ko'o kela.
O
kela
kono e ki kia manawa, ami mamua o kia manawa. Okay. Makana e ale.
Ke olu olu ke loa ke kahi manawa ka awale nao no ke lepona hui ai. Ke lano kāna me I mamake ai. Ke lano kāna me I makimake ai. E kukakama I rio me oe e pilene no ke la kuleana. Ma ewa ke ia la.
I'm going to step out.
Aye. Any council members with Kuleana?
Next meeting I cannot make.
Next meeting you cannot make.
December 11th.
See you next year.
Following as well.
Okay.
The 2 weeks is kind of.
Hi.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You won't be out of town.
I have two kuleana that I wish your consideration. I perhaps should have done it for the other time we agendized it. Because I don't believe it is on our agenda today. We have several recognitions. And then we have Sitting Card in Honolulu. Koyaho. The last three Koyaho. So council members, as you recall, I requested for the Waimanalo, the Bellows, the Sherwood Forest area, Hunananiho. I requested it put on the agenda, even though there was no work being, there was no work that really would have put it through in its formal process through us. That was a courtesy effort to do that. Mm-hmm. But I request your support to agendize this issue. I want the project to come back here because I was upset after what we heard. If you remember, I'm speaking about this. If any of you have any commentary after, I'm gonna turn it back to you for commentary. But I'm seeking my council support on this. So as you remember, presentation was made and X amount of information was presented. The news media was here and caught
whole lot of stuff. A lot of things were said that day, and it was an extremely long day. But the news clip that was put out angered the community and their leadership. And I have issues that I would like to bring to the proponents of the project, because there would not have been that news media reaction. Well, there would not have been the reaction to the news media clip that went out there had the project presented to us the information that should have been presented when they were here. And I'd like to speak to them again about it. What I'm speaking of is the original archaeological survey work that was done that was not included in any of the discussion. So, council members, we will, and for those of you who are in the public, the council doesn't, well, burial councils should try to pay attention to certain things. So, information that is given to us is what we are to make our decisions on, and that's how we supposed to offer comments off of what is presented to us. That project did not present to us the proper information that garnered it on this National Historic Registry of Historic Places. Mm-hmm. And that was not right. That information should have been presented to us.
Is this on the National History?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is.
Yes, it is. But see, we wouldn't have known that because city and county didn't say anything, and neither did the project archaeologist. So I have a problem with that.
I'm sorry I missed the last meeting.
Oh, not at all. Yeah,
but I concur with you 100%.
I have a big problem with that because all they had to do was simply make an honest presentation to us. And I believe that they were not honest.
They being the city.
Well, it's a city project, and the archaeologist, who is actually the one who should know the ropes and what goes on, and I see some of the Waimanalo community here. And the Waimanalo community is, you know, it, to say the least, they're quite up in arms. Now, whatever internally the Waimanalo community wants, doesn't want, that's really up to them. But when it comes to matters of Iwikupuna, it's not okay that you come before this council and you withhold information. So do I have council support to agendize them? Okay. So when Regina comes back in...
the December meeting, yeah.
Yeah.
Next week.
So we're going to agendize that. And... also, I'd like to also agendize your community's issue as well, because after discussion with different community leadership, they feel that there is enough information to consider bringing it before us. The request was made for support and help. So whether we can or cannot help, I'm willing to at least entertain this as the chair. Do I have your support to? Would you like to say anything to that? This is the wind farm out in Kahuku. And after receiving a call to go out there, among the list of concerns that they had, there was some concern about Iwikupuna impacted by the techniques that were used in their preparing the ground for their wind farm, the use of explosive devices.
Without permits.
So without us.
And just to add, you know, the record will show, and I don't have all the details. I know I did. Senator Revere was here. We discussed two meetings ago, I think. And also I did, between, and Regina's not here, but between Regina and I, and I spoke directly with Melissa Commit, who I know well, who raised that. So definitely, I think, yeah.
Mahalo.
And actually, so I'm not going to be, I know for sure the 11th I'm not available, but is there any availability past that week? I might have some. Maybe December 25th, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, my guy.
No, I just know for me, I kind of make it.
Yes, let's work with Regina to make sure that these two issues, one, okay, as I stated, Waimanalo folks, how many Waimanalo folks are in here? How many Waimanalo people are in here? Residents of Waimanalo? Okay, only a few of you. I made a statement in the news. I said Ivi Kupuna should not be used as a scapegoat for the stopping or any of this kind of stuff for a project. I meant it. But at the same time, one should be quite proactive in making sure that no shortcuts were taken and no what's the that Ivi Kupuna issues were not shortcut or sidetracked or any of those things. So in an effort to respond to the concerns brought to my attention by your community, I ask for your support to agendize this as well. So Regina, anybody not in concurrence with this? So Regina, ke olu olu, make noau, e kau ke ia mau me elua, ke kuleana noua manalo, mahu nana niho, ame ke ia mau pela makani, o nā pua makani, o kahuku, make noau ke ia mau me hele mai, mamua o ke ia ahanei, ke olu olu. And by the way, the archaeological firm is both one and the same for Waimanalo and Kaupo. So yeah, so he should have a good time with that.
What was the firm?
Oh, he likes those gigs.
Pacific Legacy.
Yeah.
Pacific Legacy.
Pacific Legacy. Ouch. Not happy with that one. Yeah. He was the one that did not present to us the information.
Can I add? I think what was also misrepresented was jurisdictional kinds of, like, I think we were very clear. It's like, well, we have certain jurisdiction as a bureau council.
Yes.
That item we discussed last time wasn't even a business item. It was a non-business item. But that was not well represented and maybe not well understood. And the issue is, there's Kuleana, which we could frame in certain ways, but then there's our legal jurisdiction, what we can
and not. Yeah. Right. But thus, the desire to agendize these things is, one, to provide some clarity for both the community as well as those people who are working on the project, because the community, the community has their opinions about what our role is and isn't. So we have to make sure that they're clear on what our role is and isn't. But also, it's not appropriate. I'll be as candid as I can. For that archaeological firm to do the work that it continues to do and to stand on the wayside and let that community be up in arms about this and Section 106 process is the appropriate way, given that that entire area is underneath the National Registry. And that, so those of you listening and those of you who do archaeology in the room, make sure you hear this. If you know that there are processes that can and will avail itself to the cause of Ivi Kupuna and the community, you have a kuleana to do it. You have a kuleana to pay attention and to make sure that you get your happy selves and go do what you need to do, because it's not cool and it's not right. Not in Hawaii. Let me say this again. I'm upset that our last council meeting, we had an archaeological proponent who knows the ropes and came before us and did not present information. That's not right. Take that back to Waimanalo that I said that today, because they are responsible. No matter where anyone feels on any project, when it comes to Ivi Kupuna, present the information and be open about it. The community will have its thoughts. The borough council will have its thoughts and opinions. People were in support. It doesn't really matter where you stand on it. The idea is to bring the information forward. So anybody who is anybody in archaeology over here, if you know, and in this case, now the section 106 would...
I asked that question.
Yes?
I did. I asked if there was any federal funds being used. They said there was none.
But the fact that it's on the National Registry already enables that process to avail itself, so even with or without any money, right? Am I wrong? I went through the training.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
There were no federal funds used on this Waimanalo project?
I asked that question, he said no.
It's my understanding that they were
using Section 106, and he said there is no Section 106. Try to look the minutes.
Who said there was no Section 106?
Try to look the minutes. I believe it's what I said.
Or do we have to go back to the minutes now?
Yeah.
That makes my concern even more.
Well, former State Historic Preservation Division, former staff, Kaleopai.
Yes.
Aloha. In your professional recollection of things that concern Section 106, would this not constitute the open door for the community to engage on the issues, because an area like Waimanalo, the entire area that is of concern, is still on the National Registry of Historic Places?
It would have prompted a 106 consultation.
Yes.
Consultation.
Yeah.
Yes, a consultation.
That's why putting it on a National Register is to prompt the 106.
Right.
Which is, you know, you do something prior to it actually done.
Mitigate.
Right.
But I gotta agree with Chuck that there must be some federal fundings hidden somewhere, because it doesn't make sense to me that they would not improve other projects but bring on a new project that's costing millions and millions of dollars unless they had to use those funds. That would be the only way I can logically think that that's the reason why they're building brand new.
Yeah, I agree.
Because if it's federal money, it has to be brand new. It cannot be for maintenance. So I would strongly suspect that it has some federal funding in there somewhere.
Okay. Yes?
As a part of my business major at UH, if you are taking a tax break on a project from the federal government, so your bottom line will be, it'll be reflected in your bottom line that you have that discount on your taxes. As long as they meet the end of the year deadlines, which most of these jobs do before December 31st, they can claim that tax break, which is like free money. It's from the federal government giving you that leeway to take that tax break. So your bottom line will be better off. But to me, it's still federal money, because you're getting a federal tax break.
Mahalo. Hale aloha.
So the situation highlights the fact that there's no deputy attorney general here to advise this commission on the questions of law, rather than ask the opinion of the people in the audience. They should be called, and the council should insist that they be present to provide proper legal advice to such questions like the one that you have.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Thank you. Next meeting.
So, continuing on with this, I do have your support for both Waimanalo and Kahuku. In our time here on this borough council, let's make sure that we can do what we need to do towards proper address of Iwikupuna issues. Any questions from the community? One moment. Any other questions from the community? Concerns? Nobody else? Delgene?
My concern is the AES project was using a 2015 EIS.
We would.
But the archaeologist that did the job on this project, this updated project, he came from Miami. He's not here.
We will address this when we agendize this properly.
But we're not only talking Evie, we're also talking burial caves, right?
Well,
they have five sites there that was not in their EIS.
Any of that information that is relevant to burials, we hope will be shared. Now, for the record, the reason why I'm asking the council support is according to how this is set up, it's not in our jurisdiction, but it is within our purview to ask questions and to allow the community to ask questions when it comes to burial issues. And this concern has been brought to my attention. As such, I will respond to what the community has asked.
Thank you.
So, I cannot guarantee you that the borough council will be in a position, but it will provide the information to those who need it to then follow up and do what they must do to address what their concerns are. So let's look forward to something that will be productive for both those issues. Anything else? Council members? So Regina, we already have Kali not available to be here in December. If we go with
the 11th. Okay. What about the following?
Can we all, council members, look?
It doesn't have to go around me, but it's a quorum issue, right?
Right.
Yeah. December 11th, sorry.
So our normal scheduled meeting would be?
11th.
11th. 18th?
18th, yeah.
Behel?
Yeah.
Behel?
Yeah, that would work.
18th?
December?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
18?
I'll check to see what's available.
Okay.
If the boardroom is available, I'll book that. If this room is available and the boardroom isn't, then I'll book this.
Okay.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Concerns, questions so far? Eke Kayaulu. Hello,
Hoi. Hi. I just want to ask a really quick question about the minutes. I noticed that we're a year backlog on the minutes, and I know staff is short, so it's not a judgment or anything. So I'm wondering if we'll get a timeline on when we actually maybe get some minutes, because if we
today.
Look back on the record for whatever, this is not, you know, I know it's hard, but we have a 1 year backlog, yeah, almost. Of minutes yet to be approved. So I'm just wondering if you could get a few.
Aye. Awesome. I do think the minutes are available online if you go to the Shifty website, but if you use Google Chrome, then there's a column where you can't see them. If you go to another browser, you might be able to see them.
Safari can open it.
Safari yeah, should right. be able to open it, but even so, we're still missing about 6 minutes. Yeah, even the
inside. I haven't been on
their
website, and I see
nothing.
So I just wonder. So they are there?
They should be there. Yeah, I sent them to our IT crew like last month.
What about regular Google?
Google Chrome is that's our only problematic web browser, but anything else should work fine. But Kalani, I can send them to you, Darren.
No, if it's on the website, I'll go get it. When I checked the last time, it wasn't.
I'll check with our IT staff.
Mahalo.
Got the whole year right here.
Okay.
We just haven't approved them yet.
We haven't, yeah.
Yes.
It's our bad.
Okay. Item B, revised shock barrel treatment plan for site. Lima ole walu ole. Kahi kahi ole hiku iwa walu ha. Ahupa'o kailua. Moku ko ola upoko TMK. Kahi ha kolu ole lua walu ole kolu lua. Ekela hapa. This is a determination on whether to preserve in place or relocate iwi kupuna addressed in the above draft burial treatment plan recommended to the SHPD to accept or not accept the draft burial treatment plan.
Aloha mai kapo.
Aloha.
Aloha. I'm Don Chang. I'm working with Yuka Aluli, who is the landowner. This is unofficial before I start this presentation. With respect to section 106, I would echo Hale Aloha's recommendation that you should have a deputy AG here, but usually what triggers section 106 is what we call a federal undertaking. Either there's use of federal lands or federal funding without knowing all the facts, but those usually from a legal requirement, what triggers section 106 and the consultation process. So, but it is probably better to have your deputy AG address some of these issues before your next meeting.
Mahalo.
So with that being said, again, mahalo. I'd also like to recognize we have Mapuana and Kihei Distoka, who have also been recognized as cultural descendants for this property.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
And bear with me, I'm for the first time going to try to do a PowerPoint just to help facilitate, because I know you have a lot on your agenda. So again, mahalo for the opportunity to come before OIBC. We are here for two actions by the council. First, determination of whether to preserve in place or relocate the previously identified iwi kupuna that are addressed in the draft burial treatment plan. So there were six previously identified. The recommendation is to preserve, but that is one action. The second action is a recommendation to SHPD to accept or not accept the draft burial treatment plan. So I want to just kind of go over some of the relevant facts as we get to the decision. So the first one, I just wanted to explain just the discovery of iwi kupuna. So July 2016, four inadvertent burials were discovered when Euclid was excavating for her underground pool. All work stopped. They contacted SHPD, and SHPD gave permission to temporarily curate the remains on Euclid's property. And Euclid was required to prepare an archaeological inventory survey before any further excavation could occur. Subsequently, SHPD did approve reburial of the four inadvertent burials to a permanent preservation site within her residential property, and that occurred on February 21st, 2017. 1 month after the first discovery, during the archaeological inventory field work conducted by International Archaeology, they discovered six previously identified human skeletal remains. All remains are currently in place. This is a map, a figure of where the burials are, and I'm sorry, it's probably not very clear, but it's in the burial treatment plan.
Yeah, we got it.
Nice, right here.
Okay. So it shows the location furthest down on the screen. Is well, furthest up is Makai, closest is away from one on the Kailua, the beach side, although she's not along the beach, but the Maka is below and Makai at the front. Her residence is right on the left of where the burials were discovered. That's where she was going to build the pool. The darkened area is where they started to initially do the excavation. So the four inadvertents are the ones at the bottom. They are labeled in T, initially 1, 2, 3, 4. And then during the field work for the AIS, take on additional burials, primarily burial scatters. One believes that the area of Kailua has been subject to extreme disturbance when they build these homes. Okay. The next slide talks about the recognition process. The Oahu Island Burial Council on February 8, 2017 recognized Yuklin Alulu and Keanu tried to be here today, but he's working, who is Yuklin's son, as cultural descendants to the Ibi Kupuna. On March 18th, OIBC recognized Tihe de Silva, Mapuana de Silva, Kahikina de Silva, and Kapalaiula de Silva as cultural descendants to the Ibi Kupuna. Those are all the descendants that have been recognized for this property. Okay. There have been numerous presentations to the Oahu Island Burial Council, first in November 2016. We did the initial presentation, and at that time, Euclid was requesting to relocate the inadvertent burials, as well as the previously identified, because I think she wanted to proceed with the pool. Came back in December 16th, the Aluli sought recognition, but the matter was deferred until February, at which time a presentation was made to OIBC on their descendancy, and they were recognized as cultural descendants. The following month, on March 8, 2017, OIBC recognized the De Silvas as cultural descendants. On June 18, 2018, we presented for the first time the draft burial treatment plan. And the primary issue in a dispute between the cultural descendants was access. Euclid objected to the access and wanted to limit it to her ohana, and the De Silvas felt strongly the other way. So OIBC recommended that the two families try to meet again. So we came back on July 10th after numerous attempts to, through the cultural consultation with the De Silvas, to find some compromise. Came back to OIBC on July 10, 2019 because we could not find a compromise. And once again, OIBC, and much aloha to Hina, who really provided the space, the safe space, to have, I think, some very candid discussions, primarily between the two families. But after that, OIBC recommended that the families once again go back and see if you could find a compromise to the access issue. We did, we met, and unfortunately, there was no agreement on the access, so we are here today to see OIBC's recommendation on the burial treatment plan. Cultural consultation started as early as way back in November 29, 2016. It was an initial meeting with Kalpohilo, and that really was also at the recommendation of OIBC. He recommended, because the De Silvas in particular had been doing a lot of work in Kailua that we needed them. January 29th, 30th, and February 1st of 2017, publication of the project and the discovery of burials were published in the Star Advertiser in February Kabai Ola. Between March 31st of 2017 to more recently of November, there has been really kind of concerted efforts. A lot of it was primarily between myself and Kige, trying to find a way, a path forward. And unfortunately, we could not. The burial treatment plan, particularly table two of the revised draft burial treatment plan, does go into some detail about all of the different cultural consultations. So again, two actions before you. The first action is recommendation to preserve all of the previously identified Ibi Kupuna in place. All the recognized cultural descendants, including the Aulus and the De Silvas, recommend preservation in place. The landowner, Euclid Aluli, also recommends preservation in place. And the current condition are that the previously identified bearers are currently preserved in place. So that is Diallulli's recommendation to OIBC that you determine to preserve all the previously identified EV component linkages. That's the first action before you. And if you want to take action, if you want me to move on, I'm going to talk about the Barrow treatment plan now. Or if you have questions.
If I may, I just got a quick question. We got, today we were handed some correspondences from the DeSilva Ohana, and it appears to me that they are not in support of the Barrow treatment plan. So if I could just get, you guys are not in support of this Barrow treatment plan. Not supporting, okay?
And thank you, Mark. And if I can, I'm going to go through now the Barrow treatment plan, so to put some context for the Barrow Council. And then I welcome the opportunity for both you, Glenn, and the DeSilvas to share
them with everything. Can I click? So yeah. As I read through it, so the first four were determined by
SHPD,
right. And they were moved.
So during the initial excavation, they were disinterred, and they were temporarily curated, but SHPD gave them permission to
reinter right elsewhere.
So
and then I think in the plan, the next five sets,
six. Are remain in place.
And really the issue between the families is, because we just see this.
I'm wondering,
that's just me, but maybe I missed it, but I'm wondering if we should, it sounds like we're all agreed on, well, we haven't voted on preservation in place, right. Though, right? Should we address that now?
To be completely honest with everybody in the room, I would like to just make a motion right now that we, one, support, and send our recommendation to the SHPD to preserve in place, and also vote to make a motion to not kako'o this Barrow treatment plan. That's the two motions I would like to just make. We've been hearing this agenda item for the last 3 years. We know all the background story already. We know, thanks to Kumuhina, the last few times, you know, she did get that space, and then it looked as if everybody was on the road to Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. And for me as a council member, the EV Kupuna being preserved in place is our number one goal. Mm-hmm. Whether or not the burial treatment plan gets accepted today or 10 years from now, let them work it out. Let the families work it out. I don't think we should ever send recommendations to the SHPD that are contrary to the wishes of the recognized descendants.
I would like to just concur with what Mona just said.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
I, in all due respect, what I'd like to do is continue the presentation and talk about the access. Okay? Before you make a motion.
Okay.
So yes.
Continue.
The only issue in dispute, I believe, between the cultural descendants is whether access is going to be required in the Barrow treatment plan.
Right.
And clearly this is one where, it would be helpful to have a Deputy Attorney General here. I am going to go and express and describe for you the basis upon which the compromise language in the Barrow treatment plan is that there shall be no access. Rather than determining that some recognized descendants get access and some don't, no recognized cultural descendants get access for the following reasons. Act 306, which was passed in 1990, established the burial laws. If you read Act 306 and Chapter 6E43.5, not the administrative rules, but the actual statute, it does not require access. And obviously, if you put enough lawyers in the room, everybody can give you a different interpretation. Those of you who don't. So this is my, based upon, I was a Deputy Attorney General at DLNR, advising SHPD. So this is my institutional knowledge of Act 306 and the burial laws. Act 306 was a compromise between Native Hawaiians who wanted to protect and preserve Native Hawaiian unmarked areas that had historically not been given due respect. But it was also a compromise with private landowners, private property interests. That compromise developed into burial councils. The composition of burial councils include cultural practitioners, but also representations by private landowners. The burial laws also include two different types of burials: a previously identified burial that is found under archaeological inventory survey, subject to consultation by recognized cultural and lineal descendants, and the decision is made by the burial council. That's the jurisdiction. Versus an inadvertent burial that is generally found during an archaeological monitoring, and you have got 24 to 48 hours upon which SHPD makes that determination. So this was my recollection of the compromise in Act 306, was that whether a burial, the fact that you have a burial on your property and you are required to preserve it in place is not a taking, because the legislature specifically said, the legislature further finds that Native Hawaiian traditional prehistoric and unmarked burials are especially vulnerable and often not afforded the protection of law, which assures dignity and freedom from unnecessary disturbance. So the burial laws, in my view, based upon my experience at the AG's office at that time, it was a compromise. Private landowners were also not only afraid of burial laws, but they were afraid of, at that time, the Supreme Court. It was the whole issue of PASH, traditional and customary practices. So that is my recollection. Again, you will have others who will have a different recollection. The other reason why no access, this is a really unique circumstance. Yukunahuli owns a single family private residence. She is a recognized cultural descendant. She lives on the property. She is from the area. Her families have been recognized as cultural descendants for the Marine Corps?
Mokapu.
She has not sought recognition for any of the burials in Kailua. And more importantly, Yuklin has accepted the kuleana to Malambadi's kupuna. She has abandoned her desire to build a pool, and she has kept the land, kept the backyard. She has restored, fully restored, and has no intention to build anything, do any construction. She has fully embraced the kuleana from the point of November 2016, where she wanted to relocate them, to now she and her family have fully embraced having these kupuna in her yard. She has prayed upon it, and she's accepted that kuleana. The last time we met, after the burial council had asked us to meet in June of 2019, Yuklin did extend an invitation to the descendants to go out and visit the kupuna, and they accepted that invitation and did go out, and I will let the disservice speak on their own behalf. And then after that, we had a meeting where we tried to come up with a compromise language. But another reason for why no access, from a cultural perspective, Yuklin believes access is by invitation of the property owner. And I realize that this is probably the first time OIBC and SHPD is faced with the issue of a landowner objecting to access. And I know it is the practice of OIBC, of the burial councils and SHPD, to include access as a form of treatment. But with the when the law was passed, the only thing that the law required was either preservation or relocation of a burial on your property. The issue of access, of buffers, of landscaping, of signage was not. That is a creation of the rules, not of the statute. And statutory construction, you have to stay within the confines of the statute. No one has challenged it because you always have the landowners to agree. Because the landowners, one, they either need the permit to proceed, but you rarely have a situation where you have a private residential landowner who's a recognized descendant who is extremely private, who does not want to have non-family members having access to the property. The last thing I will say is the basis is there was a recent Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court decision. Again, we can have many lawyers in the room who will have a different interpretation of this case. It's called Nick versus Township of Scott, decided by the United States Supreme Court in June 21st, 2019, just a couple of months ago. And in that case, a private landowner, she had a private property. There was a cemetery on her property that she was required to open to the public. She sued the county who required her to keep it open to the public because she said that was a violation of, it was a taking. It was a violation of Section 1983. The United Supreme Court agreed with her that to require not the cemetery be there, but to require public access, or that she be kept open to the public, was a taking which required just compensation. So, for those reasons, the burial treatment plan is drafted to provide no access. So with that, I'm going to ask Yukman to share her manaho, and then the De Silvas are free to share their manaho as well.
Thank you very much, council members, for I think this is the fourth time that we've come before you, and I know you're all volunteers, and so basically I'm guided by the notion that I have to take care of the ED because I live there, and I've lived there over 40 years, and I raised my son there, and I provide babysitting services to my two granddaughters, and they are right there within 10 feet of the last known ED kupuna. I think they're spread throughout, from my observation, because of the bulldozing once we got into this. And that's, we live in the middle of a cemetery. I live there. And I'm not planning on leaving. I'm 71 years old. It has steps going up and down, and I live by myself. I occasionally offer pu'uhonua to other family members when they're having problems at home, and also to relatives who visit. I have a small cottage where my son used to reside, and it's important and it's fully enclosed. I was raised that you must have a kahea of welcome. You don't intrude upon the homesteads of others, and I would, you know, in fact, don't even come by without trying to make a phone call ahead of time, was how, you know, just don't be a drop by. And of course, knock on the door, but you must be welcome. And otherwise, it's intrusive. And that's, I still have that belief, and I think if, and I believe it's in our culture, if I look at some of the Olelo No'eau from Hukui, she speaks about one who lives on the land, even if we have multiple ownerships, the person who is residing on the land calls the shots. And so I had given the number to that Olelo and some kind of correspondence, but it's the Olelo 2336, and then the Olelo that's referenced, the other Olelo is I think it's 3-4. I go by numbers. So this is, to me, the embodiment of our traditional customs and practices, one of them. And I am a believer in Mrs. Pukui's work and her capturing of the wisdom of our ancestors, and I think it's important. I would feel like, what am I supposed to do with all these people? Pikai, like every other day, you know, and worry about you know, I mean, people can stir up things. If you don't, if you come and you make trouble in, with the EV, I mean, that's something that I just finished the whole Ho'oponopono training with Mrs. Paglinawan, and I have no idea that we have to consider all of it. You know, Ho'oponopono, the first three categories you consider those in front of you, starting with yourself. And the last two categories of the five categories deal with Uhane and the spirits and those who are no longer, you know, in this form, and getting to just those that are no longer in this form, number five, and then connected to Vaina. So it, I would like not to have to worry about other people coming onto the property where I live and stirring up things, and that's some of my concern. I don't think it's superstition. I don't want to go make trouble. Everything's calm and mellow. I was very fearful, you know, initially, because there's so many of them that I would have disturbed them in this excavation. And so it's fine now, and I just hope that if your group decides that you want to grant access to cultural descendants, then I have a concern. Because there's nothing awry with what's happening down there. I've been in possession. This house was built a little over 70 years ago, and I've owned it for 40 of its 70 years, and before that, from my look at the 1940 bulldozing, that the clearing of this area in Kailua, it was not, there was no structure there, but there was one further to, in the direction of Waimanawa. So it isn't to today what it was, you know, at the time that ancestors were placed in the ground. And they most likely predate my own ancestor from Mokapu, who only arrived in 1840 that we know of. So these are pre-contact, and I would like to maintain a peaceful environment, and I think it's my right. I'm a Hawaiian, and I live there, and I have a right to have some kapu about what goes on. You know, some kid is in a fight with their parents. Don't come here with alcohol on your breath. I have to smell your mouth before you come sleep on, crash on my kune'e over there. It's the same thing, you know, in the house, outside of the house, I'm pretty strict about it. And so I would request that in considering, as Don has pointed out, that it was rulemaking that got us here. And the rulemaking, in some respect, by introducing the word access. There is no definition of that, this type of access in either the statute that doesn't mention it at all, or the rulemaking. And that has posed a problem. And I would like to offer that as long as we conduct ourselves in the context of our customary practices, and I think we all know you don't go unless you're invited and you don't intrude upon someone's home. My home is within the confines of all of my fences. I don't always wear all my clothing when I go in my yard. You know, I mean, some privacy. I enjoy the extent of my property. And I enjoy hearing the ocean at night. I enjoy having that breeze come in. I notice when the winds shift. I mean, there's everything happens. in that place. I work five blocks away from there. My son lives five blocks. I mean, I'm just trying to say, put it in the context of our practices. I can live with that. But to just have a big long list and everybody signs up and somehow they get to come in my backyard, walk 5 feet away from my toilet and my shower and 10 feet away from my bedroom, if they're gonna stay in place, they're right there. And is intrusive. And so and that intrusiveness, if not accommodated, acknowledged, it wasn't in our custom to go, I'm not doing anything wrong over there. If the state of Hawaii wants to come in and check me out once a year, fine. I can get that. Because a governmental official has, you know, this is, but some random, I'd be afraid to go designate myself a cultural descendant, knowing what happens over here. I would. I don't want to intrude on people. So I ask you to consider our own cultural practices and not to be puppets to the actions of the state of Hawaii. That's how I look at it. They are not my friends. And I'm sorry if I offended any state of Hawaii employees here, but I have a healthy suspicion about all state activity. And what we call it is police authority of a state. And it is embedded forever in my mind as that is what it is. And I question that. So.
Mahalo.
Can I comment?
For a long, long.
You know, you've been coming for a long time, and I think I've been here most of the meetings, and I think it's commendable, right, that you decided not to build a pool. I think that was, we've had a conversation about the building of the pool.
Years ago, at the very beginning, and I heard and I appreciate it.
And I think we're all in agreement, right, that preservation in place is, right, as we previously discussed. But I am curious of your willingness to allow the state to come in and not reputable Hawaiians that are cultural descendants. That's just my thought. I think I would flip that. I would say I'd be much more willing for Hawaiians. If you're willing for anyone to access your, and I think we're getting in the area of, it'd be great to have a attorney general representative here. I think we're looking at a new precedent for access that's above and beyond us, that looks like it's headed to the courts. But in the context of, you know, this has been happening for a long time, I think even like with Kauai Ha'o, we would say the sooner this is made pono, the better. So I also see, and I only skimming, but I think Lani, is that right, Lani, you made a recommendation 7 and 8, which I don't really understand, like it's not gonna be writing, is that what that is? But like, is there a gentlewoman's agreement that, hey, we're not gonna come as long as you're living on the property? Is that right?
That's how I remember. Mean,
yeah, so I, like, that's just my concern. If you're willing for anybody to come on your property, I would flip that and say, not the state, let the cultural descendants come then. And then problem solved, right?
No.
Mahalo.
That's what I think, that's my manawa.
That was me riffing here. It's how, with the aversion that I have towards the uninvited intruder. Yes, I have.
But
had.
These are not random people. That's the other thing. These are, you guys live in the same community. You guys got to work that out. I mean, that's similar. I mean, not unlike
Sherwood's,
right? I mean, that's,
I'm not,
sorry.
I'm
that's
not
my
pushing
mouth.
Myself into their hale. You know what I'm saying? So what is the meaning of it? You're going to come down there and interface with Ibi Kupuna, who lie beside me more or less. They're so in such proximity to my bedroom and that of my granddaughters. I don't like that. Because people can come in and make trouble, and then you live with that trouble.
Mahalo, one moment. I will pull this meeting back to the purview of the chair. We have, okay, I got a message from Linda Chow. She's willing to avail herself. She's free from now until 1. Shall I? No, she's on Maui. She's on Maui, but she can do a phone call. Okay.
Before we go to the, can I just make one more? This is, I'll try to hold to this. This will be my last comment because I don't know the number in the book. But aloha ke kahi e ke kahi. That's what needs to happen. Because these are not random people. These are known people that you live with in your kaiulu. So. You know, that's the last thing I'm going to say on this whole issue, other than voting.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I've come to appreciate what you've done. Now I'm being really candid here. Sometimes Euclid says stuff that she definitely speaks her mind. Because the De Silvas, they were very thoughtful when they came over. And they've said that they have no intention to be intrusive. But under this provision, you cannot just limit it to the De Silvas. It is anybody who's recognized as a descendant. We don't know who that may be, because in the future, anyone could. But I think it is, you are faced with a very difficult decision about, and this is probably, how do I say, the worst case. You have a Hawaiian, two Hawaiian families, but it is, and to have a quiet gentleman's agreement, because that was proposed too. That does not preclude someone in the future from seeking recognition. And so that is a concern about this. So the proposed access was no access so long as she lives there and she malamas these kupuna. If she moves, access is then reopened and SHPD coordinates that. But okay, that's
okay. Again, we have the option of connecting with our AG, but I'm not quite sure how to frame the question properly to her so she can facilitate an
exactly,
opinion.
Exactly, yeah.
You might want to have an executive session
not here,
with her.
It's hard if she's not here.
So you can speak in confidence with her rather than having all of us here. And then you can raise the issue and see if she can provide you guidance now or if she wants to see all the facts. But you can go into executive session to consult with your counsel.
Chair will entertain a motion to move into executive session.
Should we also find out what they want to say before we go there? Before we go to the AG? I'm just throwing that out there. I can go either way.
We can, but time is of the essence. We've got half an hour. And, I mean,
they
given
want
what
access,
they've written.
Basically.
Right. You'd like to hear the De Silvas first? Please.
Yeah, there's a couple people who wrote these letters too.
Okay. Then, all right, like I said.
What time?
I don't really need her.
Okay.
I don't need her opinion, actually.
I don't want to be disrespectful to the De Silva Ohana. We'll have 20 minutes with the AG. It's either we let you speak first and the clock will run, and then we won't have enough time with the AG. Which would you prefer?
I think they're here now. The AG is someplace else, but that's
okay.
Sorry, I'm not supposed to say anything. Any other council member?
Right now, any other council member has something to say? Thank you. I heard you.
Sorry,
I'm not supposed to say something.
Yes. Sure.
If you go into executive session without hearing from us, I ask that you take with you the four letters that we submitted from people who are very worried about the consequences of what is basically a rewriting of the responsibilities and rights of a cultural descendant. And you need to take those letters to your meeting and address them to the Attorney General or the District, the Deputy Attorney General, in order that she understands that the essence of this decision is not whether these invasive hordes can march into Yuklin's property, because we have no intention of ever doing that, but whether we can now allow for a property owner to say no access to cultural descendants, period. To me, that's the essence of this question. If you remember our Ho'oponopono session last time, I promised that we would never interfere with their care of Ibi Kupuna, that we had full trust that they could take care of those Ibi Kupuna. She promised that she would trust us not to interfere with her. The whole question came down to how that access privilege would be written into the burial treatment plan so that it wouldn't interfere with any future cultural descendants discussions. We agreed that if it were just the normals, they could come three times a year for 30 minutes at a time and only bring three people to pray, that we would say, good, that's a nice way to frame it. We won't, in private, bother you. But we need to not alter the law as it is currently presented without being fully aware that we are threatening that the existence of that law as written and as intended by the gentleman back there who wrote that law.
And this is what I was expecting to see in this draft. That's what I was expecting to see in this draft.
Exactly. Some kind of thing.
Mahalo. So are we going to close? I mean,
one moment. Aloha, 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 nukahoi.
Your hand is up.
Yes. I'm new to this question, but I listen very carefully to people talking. Why can't this be handled as a legal matter? We have an agreement, basically, between the two parties. So if you create something like an easement with a certain time, certain parties, and file it as an encumbrance on the property, then there would be no question as to who has rights.
Mahalo.
Hale aloha.
Hale aloha.
And I'm not here on behalf of any party, but I'm here on behalf of a process that was referred to earlier regarding the enactment of Act 306. I was directly involved in that. So I know what we intended when it all was passed, and Don is absolutely correct when she said it was a compromise. Because it was a compromise between landowners and Hawaiians. What wasn't said was that the landowners have gotten the best Hawaiians. There's thousands of kupuna in boxes, well, they were when this first started, as proof positive of who had the upper hand. But yet Hawaiians were still required to compromise. And part of that thinking was, how do we create, and we have to recognize that because of the disconnection between families and land, we have unmarked burial sites where we don't know who the ohana are. So how do we create, how do we address this modern day phenomenon today? And the answer was to create a council made up of representatives of their community who are familiar with the families of their area. So that when EV issues came up, they knew whom to speak with, whom to come forward, whom to begin that process. There's no such thing as a cultural descendant prior to when we created this program.
Yeah.
That was a creation of myself, Anai Kapeliela, and Ethan Apopa, in discussion with our community, because what we wanted to make sure was that for situations where we cannot identify who these kupuna are and who the families are, how do we still create a category where of responsibility? And that's what the cultural descendant was intended to be. Someone who can say, I'm from Kalamahula, but I cannot say that that's my kupuna. I'm willing to accept the kuleana of taking care of that person. That kuleana is not exclusive to one family over another, or to a landowner. That kuleana belongs to who accepts it. And so if a Ohana comes forward and says, we are willing to accept the Puliana caring for this Kupuna, I'm going to speak on the integrity of that process.
Okay.
And it's right, access is not required in the law. It's not prohibited either.
Yeah.
It's something that can get worked out by the parties. So, you know, I'm here on behalf of the process. I was the principal author of Hawaii Administrative Rules, which I believe Don approved as to form. She was Deputy Attorney General.
We worked on it together.
That's right. So it was intended to define, to give meaning to what the statute said. The statute was absolutely a compromise. And the borough councils were intended to stand in the footsteps of these kupuna and these families until such time as those actual families were identified. So that's why lineal descendants have the highest standing. But cultural descendants now have the second level standing, and that's not exclusive to anyone.
Mahalo.
Hi. I just wanted to share my experience having iwi kupuna in a private property whose family home is not a first. My ohana and I are lineal descendants at Kukui Kona, and it's a gated community where we have most traditional Kona, and iwi kupuna are within their property. I really feel for the Da Silvas and other cultural descendants that they're kept from having to visit their kupuna. They're cultural practitioners. They're respected in the Hawaiian community to refer to them as, you know, a threat to the kupuna is just absurd. But I like the idea that, you know, when we want to go visit our kupuna, we have to call the association and make arrangements in advance. And because I live in Honolulu, I call like a month in advance so that somebody's going to be there to meet me. They notify the homeowner that I am going to be there at a specific time and day, and that's it. For whatever, you know, they want to get their kōpuku to an ori or whatever the form of their kōpuku to be cooking. You know, hearing that maybe the cultural descendants can go 3 times a year, I find that reasonable, even though it's not written in the law that you have to, you know, gain access, but to keep the harmony within your community and among your cultural descendants, I think it should be worked out that way. I really do hope you know, as the owner, can work this out. Just wanted to share that with you. Mahalo.
Mahalo. I would say that it would be wonderful if people could work it out, but trust is a major factor. And it seems that throughout our community, I'm seeing great, great issues with trust. Our people don't trust each other anymore. So it falls back upon these kinds of systems that don't work for us. Not designed by us, but most of these systems that don't work for us, and then we have to use that kind of way to reconcile things. It is 12:48.
We're on item one.
That's okay. And
who has to leave at 2:30?
Who has to leave at 2:30?
Coming out.
Oh, it's coming out. Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't have the room all day.
Yeah.
Right. We done.
Be done by 3:45.
I just want to say something to you. I really thought the last time that we had that ho'oponopono, that I witnessed hearts change.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, when I picked this up to read this, I was truly expecting what the result of that was inside here, and it was not here. So I just want to say that's where I'm at.
I want to say something. You know, we met, they came to my home, we moved across the street and had our meeting at the beach. I thought we were on the same page. As Don detailed, we came up with some language that we thought was reflected in our discussion. And that language we never got. She's got it in her summary of all these trying to get some agreement. And here we are months later, and we finally, you know, 2 days ago or a day ago, maybe it was yesterday or the other day, I get the five letters from the five lawyers opining in all of this based on their read of the administrative rules. And I don't know what to say other than we tried. I didn't go running around. We put out language out there and it was never accepted, ever. And then finally Don just said, this is like insane. There's not gonna be an agreement. So what do you come up with? Well, no access. If there can't be an agreement, that, and so now we've got five, you know, NHLC, Eddie, you know, these are my colleagues that I work with. So I don't know what to say other than it's not very Pono to just come upon someone's residence, their home, and it's if three times a year to, I'm doing all right, thank you. Everybody's fine. They want to come one more time and make sure they're fine, but I'm left to think I have to go peek high every time.
Mahalo. You can see my face, I can see your face. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you directly. You're a lawyer.
Oi,
yes.
Okay.
You're a lawyer. You know the precedent that would this would set. If we were to honor what you want, which there is a logic. There is a clear logic. You as a homeowner should not be forced to do certain things. If depending on what we had that we put on, I see the logic, but the logic that surrounds this council and what it was meant to do, knowing the plight of our Ivi Kupuna, knowing the predicaments that we find ourselves in, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not necessarily the brightest cookie on the block.
Amen.
I'm going to have to reconsider coming back to this side of that. I really think that this would set a precedent, like we heard. They gave you their word, but you don't trust them. I'm not trying to say that you should be forced to do what you don't want to do, but at the same time, as a lawyer who has fought for our people and fought for our rights, you do see what this would do if we honored you, right?
Honestly, I don't. You know why? It's a kettle and a teapot. We don't need to have access to cultural descendants put into every burial treatment plan. We're entitled to nuance. I live on a 10,000 square foot lot in a 70-year-old house.
Well, what I'm saying is, yes, Don.
No, you know, Hina, I totally appreciate that. This has not been without much pain and much consternation thinking about this. I like Eddie, I mean, Hale Aloha. They were at the forefront with Hui Malama in developing these, the Act 6306. But I was there too, between the different litigations. So I know how painful this is. I think in this case, how we try to lawyers call it, narrowly tailor It is the unique circumstance of Euclid's situation. Recognized cultural descendant, owns the fee simple pieces, lives on the property, has agreed to preserve and protect the barrels in the property. That what we would say is that this is an exception, which you're correct. Because I know the Pandora's box. Rest assured, it was never the intention to open up burial treatments. And this is the worst case. But what I tried to design in that access was, because there was a lot of, it was a very emotional meeting with the Alulis and the Desilvas. I think they both expressed how they felt. But at the end, it was very clear that they were not going to come to a compromise, because it was a matter of principle. For the Desilvas, it was the precedence it would set. For the Alulis, it was the rights of private landowners and her cultural practice. So I tried to narrowly tailor where no one had access, unless these unique circumstances no longer exist. But that's how I tried to address exactly the question you raised about the precedence this is. Because we are not trying in any way to uproot or to cause, or to put Hawaiians again at a disadvantage with other landowners. But it is how strongly these two ohana feel about this position. And we cannot, there is no compromise.
This presumes that we would do what we normally do, preserve in place.
With that said, what you just said, everything here, to the whole thing about our people and the movement of, in the Hawaiian consciousness, no one owns the land. Mm-hmm. We only kahu, da aina. We aloha aina, we malama aina. So it's just, you see.
But the law was also, and you know, I will defer to Hale Aloha too, but the law was also looking at where kupuna had no one to take care of them. Unmarked native wanderers. You have a Hawaiian who's going to take care of these people. You have Yukon who has agreed no construction. She is going to take care of these kupuna. So in my view, and I recognize that I look like, I mean, clearly I'm working with Yukon, but I'm trying to be objective because I don't want all of the hard work that you guys have worked for. I mean, Chuck, you have been on burial council for day one. The hard work to overcome the inequities. But I know you are faced with a very difficult decision. I don't know what the solution is, other than this compromise language of no access.
It's not landowner that I stand on. I stand on culture, our practices, which is no maha oi. You have to come by invitation, you know. Nobody can go write it down on the palapala that you have access. I live here. I've lived here for 40 years. I own it. Yes, I own it, and I didn't close it. But I sleep over there.
Mahalo. Council members. You know, Hakaka, I say, I don't support preserving it over there. Hakaka, Ubo.
She says that because until this is all pau and pono, they're not resting.
I understand that. That's why I've been trying to get some closure here. I mean, we have to push and nag to get those five letters and get a position out 2 days ago.
Is there another home for these Irikupun in the places that you have?
In the
have
boxes
worked with?
In their garage or out there in the middle
no.
of the highway.
No. Is there another home for these Kupuna?
I could never agree to moving.
Or the A and B.
You guys cannot get along. Yeah. And there is no agreement. And it's going to be on this council?
No.
10-minute break.
We had the same problem with our 64 sets in Honolulu between Kamehameha schools not agreeing to access. We fought them, and then the $5 million lawsuit came up. It was still not solved. And then we finally got to the agreement. Exactly.
We cannot pick and choose.
No, can. So that's why we have to move on. Because it'll set a precedent that way.
I was going to rip them, but I scooped it.
Thank you. Hey, why are you putting yourself in that hole? Let us open it back.
You got a rent for it?
Finally got enough time to go and finish it. I wrote on this one.
Okay. I know I need to go take a ride now.
Can we move on?
Actually, you see me, right? I tried to stop the ball before the drive.
Yeah. Why are we letting
you talk on and on and on and on? I'm going to do the motions as soon as we can.
We're far in depth.